Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
As you guys are seated, you can open up your Bibles to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18, and you can just hold it there, and we're going to read it, not yet, but we just so you know where we're going to be at. That's our address for this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you guys this morning under the topic clear vision. The topic of this morning is what? Clear vision. Amen. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about. Being able to see with clarity. Being able to have a clear vision. But before we go into the message, I want to just revise and go over the vision of the house. New Generation Church has a vision, and this is our vision. Our vision here at New Generation Church is to reach multicultural people, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to fulfill their ministry, and reproduce here on earth for God's kingdom. So if you learn nothing today, at least you learn the vision of the house. That God has called this church to reach multicultural people. That means Mexicanos, Latinos, Africanos, Africans, Anglo-Americans, white Americans, Puerto Ricans, hello somebody, everybody, amen. Nobody is excluded from the Lord, amen. God has called us and God has lifted up this church so that it could be a house where people can go without worrying about their race. How many can praise God? That's what multicultural people means, to make disciples. That means that we're called to teach others what we have learned. God has raised up this church so that it could be a lighthouse in the midst of darkness so that we can shine for God's glory. But if you don't know the vision, you don't know where you're going to go. That's why this morning I wanted to talk to you guys about having a clear vision, knowing where you're supposed to go. It's like if you get in the car, right? You get in the car, you already know your destination. You know that if you're going to go to San Diego, you're going to have to get on the Interstate 8 and you're going to have to start going westbound, right? Because if you start going eastbound on Interstate 8, you're going to end up totally the opposite of San Diego. You're going to end up in Arizona. But if you go westbound on Interstate 8, it don't matter how distracted you get. It doesn't matter how blurry the vision gets. It doesn't matter how fogged up the vision gets. You're going to arrive in San Diego one way or another because you're going the right direction. And I know that it's kind of early to be screaming and yelling, but it's going to make sense right now. What is vision? Number one, it's a conceptual view of the future. The word conceptual is just a fancy word for a picture. So in other words, it is a picture, a view of the future, a photographic of what God has for you in the future. In other words, each one of you guys, God has given you a vision. God has given you a picture of what God wants to do in your life, whether it be preaching, whether it be teaching, whether it be praise and worship, playing the instruments, whether it be part of the sound team, whether it be part of the social media. But you have seen yourself doing something for God. And that is a vision that God gives. Because when God calls us, he begins to give us the capacity. He begins to prepare us. He begins to give us photographic pictures of our future. So number one, it's a conceptual view of the future. Number two, a visual manifestation of your purpose. Each and every one of us in this house today has a purpose. Have you ever asked yourself, like I have, like, what did you call me to do, Lord? Now more and more, I know what God has called me to do. But in the beginning, I didn't know. I was frustrated because I didn't know where I fit in. I didn't know what God wanted to do with my life or where it was that God wanted to use me in his house. But as I continued to connect with the vision of the house, as I continued to serve, as I continued to come to church, my calling began to make more sense. My calling began to clear up. And I knew that God had called me to reach other men for Jesus Christ. Maybe your calling is to reach women. Maybe your calling is to teach children. Maybe your calling is to reach the lost. But let me tell you that God has called you to do something for his kingdom. You just need to clear up the vision. Right now, it might be a little bit foggy. It might be the vision might be a little bit dirty, but you've come to the right place because this is where God clears up the vision. This is where God clarifies the calling. This is where God turns on the spiritual wipers so that you can see clearly. How many can say amen? So number two, a visual manifestation of your purpose. Your purpose is your assignment. That's what God has called you to do. He has given you an assignment. You just need to get clarification. Vision is when you see. It is when you see and what you see in those pictures, in those godly moments that God shows you through dreams and through visions. Because you can see with your eyes open. That is sight. What you see with your eyes open, that is sight. But what you see when you close your eyes, that is God's vision. I'm going to say that again. What you see with your eyes open, that is sight. But when you close your eyes and you see yourself preaching at Dodger Stadium to thousands of people, that is vision. When you close your eyes and you see yourself praising and worshiping God at Levi Stadium with a bunch of people worshiping and praising God, and you're playing the piano, you're playing the guitar, you're singing, you're leading worship, and God's using you. That's vision, church. It's what you see with your eyes closed. How many have ever seen yourself doing something that seems or feels like this is a little crazy? This could never happen. Anybody? Or it just happens to me. There's things that I'm doing now, fulfilling my calling that I never imagined in a million years that I would be doing what I'm doing. But God called me and he gave me a vision and he showed me I'm going to use you. And little by little, a lot of those photographic pictures, visions that God has given me have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled. Because that's what God does, church. God has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. Number three, a vision is a glimpse of the reason of your existence. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. Martin Luther King saw something that everybody else could not see. He seen blacks and whites, Hispanics, and everybody playing together. At that time, it seemed like it couldn't happen. It seemed like it wasn't a possibility. But he didn't stop from saying, you know what? God gave me a vision, and I see kids playing with each other, not mattering the race. A lot of people doubted. A lot of people said he was crazy. But if you think of the times that we're living now, that dream has been fulfilled. Now you see different races marrying each other, marrying into each other, where before it was not acceptable. You are of this heritage, you are of this ethnicity, and you have to marry this ethnicity. You have to marry this person because they have the same color as you do. So now we see that what Martin Luther King visionized, what Martin Luther King dreamed about, we see that come to pass. We see that that was fulfilled. So there's nothing that is impossible for God. There is nothing impossible that God cannot do. It just requires faith. It requires faith in God that if God called you to it, he will make a way. That if God called you to do it, he will prepare you no matter how much you have messed up. Amen. Martin Luther King was a leader. He saw the future. Is there any leaders in the house? I got warmed up already. Is there any leaders in the house? See, little Eddie's a leader because all of you guys thought about coming to get the coat, but he's the only one that got up. So he got the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking about, church. That when God puts in your heart to do something, act on it. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what they're going to say. Don't worry about the criticism. God's the one that's called you. God's the one that has given you the vision. We need leaders. We need men and women, young and old. We need leaders, pastors, businessmen, and who are leaders, not just entrepreneurs. In other words, we need people that want to build the kingdom of heaven, that want to build the kingdom of God here on earth. We need leaders. God's called you to be a head, not a tail. He's called you to be above, not beneath. What is your vision? What are your plans? We have two more months left in the year. Are you on track? Are you are you going to meet the goal that you set for yourself at the beginning of 2024? Did you lose the 20 pounds that you wanted to lose? Some of you guys lost more than 20. Others gained 20. Amen. Did you get the job that you wanted? Did you establish a relationship with your son, with your daughter that you wanted to do this year, that you wanted to accomplish? Did you get your driver license? Did you pay your child support? Did you pay off the IRS? What was the vision that you set for yourself at the beginning of 2024? I'm here today to remind you that you need to clarify your vision. You need to clear up the vision that God has given you. The Bible says, people of God, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people, we cast off restraint. In other words, people do whatever they want. I was going to say the heck, but I held back. Whatever they want. They do whatever. They come and they go as they want without anybody telling them what to do. Well, I have news for you today. You're never going to fulfill your vision like that. Because when you have a vision, when you clarify your vision, you learn how to submit under authority. Hello, somebody. Because you know that when you learn to fulfill the vision of the house, God begins to fulfill your personal vision. In other words, as I serve at my church, as I submit to my pastor, as I serve the vision of the house, God begins to fulfill my personal vision. God begins to provide for my personal needs because our visions need to be in alignment. And in order to be in alignment, there has to be clarity of vision. Hello, somebody. I'm going to say that again. In order for that to be in alignment of vision, there has to be clarity of the vision. Okay, now let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it again. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Hallelujah. There's another version that says it like this. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. Now you're understanding why I'm saying it's important to submit to authority. Because you want to have a blessed life. Because blessed is he who heeds to wisdom and instruction. In life, there is always going to be somebody above you. There is always somebody that's going to give you instruction. Whether it's your wife, your husband, your boss. Hello. But if you obey the instruction, you will have a blessed life. God will bless you because God blesses obedience. God will bless you because God blesses obedience. Number five, vision is the conception of your preferred future. What do you see yourself doing? What do you see yourself doing? You know, like I was sharing earlier, I would see myself preaching. I would see myself helping others. I would see myself doing what I'm doing now. It's crazy. I know it's crazy. Because before I got here, I had already, God had given me the vision. He had envisioned me. The one that caught me off guard was being a pastor. I had never envisioned myself being a pastor. Never in 100 years. But when Pastor Eddie said, hey, you know, you need to step up into the role of pastorship. I said, all right. Amen. If you see a virtue, and these are the exact words that I told him. If you see virtue in me, then let's do it. You know, because it wasn't because I wanted it. I wanted just to go out and preach, be an evangelist, share God's word, and stay as a leader here in the church and just serve in leadership. But God took me out of my comfort zone, and God put me in the position that I am now. And that, you have to learn that God puts godly men and godly women in your walk to teach you, to instruct you, to guide you, and to direct you. Let me give you some nuggets. If you want to have it easy in your walk with the Lord, learn to obey, learn to submit, learn to say amen, gloria a Dios. Yeah, give it to the Lord, amen. Not to Brother Eddie G, to the Lord. Number six, vision is the capacity to see the invisible. It's the ability to believe that it is possible. You know, Joseph had a dream. And he shared his dream with his brothers and his father. And even his own brothers, his own family, they hated on him. Hello, somebody. Is there any haters in the house? No haters, amen. They hated on him. You know why? Because he shared that God was going to use him. He shared that God had given him a dream, that they were going to serve him. And even his dad told him, what, even I'm going to bow down before you? Even I'm going to come to you? You know, because sometimes people can't accept the fact that God has called you. And they say, you know what, him, the drug addict, the liar, the thief, the good for nothing. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Those that think they've arrived, those that think they know it all, God uses the foolish things. And if he uses me, he can use you. I'm going to say it again. If he used me, he can use you. You know, this weekend we went out to evangelism. Thank God for everybody that came out to the evangelism, all the men. And we were out evangelizing, and then it was our last stop. And we only had like one soda and one water, and we're like, I even felt like telling Brother George, why even stop? Let me have it. I'll drink it. But you know what? God had a purpose. We stopped right there at this last spot, and there was a guy on the floor. And this guy, he recognized me. And he said, you know what? Where do I know you from? And right away, when he said that, I knew who he was because I heard his voice, and I already had an idea of who he was. And then I told him my name, and he says, get out of here. Get out of here. He was in shock because he knew the old Eddie. He knew the drug addict. He knew me bound. He knew me lost. And then he began to say, no way. And then I shared with them, well, we're with New Generation Church. And we're here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And he's like, get out of here. You're doing that? I told him, yeah. I go, it's crazy. I'm even one of the pastors there now. And he said, you? He said, oh, my God. And he told all the guys, you guys are in for it now. Later on, he's going to have you guys all out here next to me. And I told him, look, Jesus loves you, man. I go, Jesus loves you. He did it in my life. He wants something with you. It's not a coincidence that we're out here and that I'm seeing you. I told him, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, pray for me. So we prayed for him, and we blessed him. And then the Lord put it in my heart, you know what, give him a blessing, sow a seed. And at that moment, I was like, man, this guy, he's going to use it to go get high. Why, Lord? But then I had to overcome that. I said, you know what? I had to tell myself, you don't worry about what he's going to use it for. You just be obedient. You don't worry about what he's going to do with it. You just be obedient. And I had to rebuke myself. I didn't tell any of the brothers. I'm telling you, I'm sharing this with you guys because I'm being transparent. I said to myself, you know what? I took out my wallet and I blessed him. Because that's what God's called us to do, church. That's the vision of the house, to reach the lost, to bring the drug addicts, to bring the prostitutes, to bring the sinners into the house so that in the house of God they can be transformed, so that in the house of God the chains can break, the addictions can leave, and God can set them free. But where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. People do whatever they want. Where there's no visions means that there's a lack of God's word and understanding of it. Why? Because God says, I am love. And if I am love, then you have to love others. So it's important, church, to have a vision. It's important to embrace the vision of the house. It's important to know where we're going. That's why every now and then you'll hear us preach messages like this. Because we're at the end of 2024. We're getting ready to go into 2025, and we need to start making plans. We need to get back in alignment what it is that God wants us to do this coming year. We need to not to forget that we still need to finish this year strong as well. So it's just a reminder, church, that get back in alignment, clear up the vision. Don't get caught up in that, oh man, the winter's here, now I'm gonna lay back and chill. The holidays are coming. I'm going to kick it. You know, I'm going to take a break. No, there's no time for that. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and only the violent will take it by force. This is about being violent for the kingdom. This is about fulfilling the vision that God has given you. Let's go to Judges 21, verse 25 real quick. Judges 21, 25. Mercy. I'm going to read it real quick. It says out of the King James Version, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Are you guys there, Judges? 21. I'm going to wait for everybody, but that way they can see that I'm not making this stuff up. It's in there. Judges 21. Verse 25. Hasta el último, amen. If not, get your phone out and get, so you can see it in there. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everybody did whatever they wanted. Everybody came and went as they pleased. But I thank God that in this house, there is a king. How many can say amen? Thank God that in this house there is a king. His name is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. We're not like that where we do whatever we want in our own eyes. And thank God that there's pastors in the house. That there's a pastor that tells us what's right and what's wrong. Hello, somebody. Se fueron los amens. The amens left the house. You know, sometimes we want to be like the people of Israel. You know, they tell you, hey, you're starting to come late to the services. And, whoa, ¿qué pasó? Why are you telling me that I'm being late? Or you miss a service or two. Hey, we missed you. And then right away, we get on the defense. But that's because when there is no vision, people cast off restraint. When there is no leadership, when there is no authority, when there is no vision, everybody comes and goes as they please. They do whatever they want. And that's why you see people leaving the house of God. That's why you see the people stop coming to church. And it's not because of the leadership. It's not because of the pastors. It's not because of the volunteers or the servant. It's that they've decided that they're going to do whatever they want and nobody's going to tell them what to do. How many say amen? You know, if that's the case, stay in the world. Hello, somebody. If that's the attitude you want to have of doing whatever you want, stay in the world. Why come? Why make your life miserable? You know, come, receive, submit, and grow in the Lord. Your time will come. Your time will come. But from now till then, just, in Spanish, dicen calladito, te miras más bonito. When you're nice and quiet, you look more handsome. Hello, somebody. Give the Lord a praise. If not, at least say, ouch. There was no king. There was no authority, no guidance, no direction. We need the revelation of God's word, which gives his authority here on earth. That's why we preach the way we preach. That's why we teach the way we teach. That's why we have the authority that we have, because we have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the anointing. We have his presence. And that's what gives us the boldness. That's why God uses us, because we have his word. It is the word that brings conviction. It is the word that teaches you. It is the word that makes you feel discomfortable. It is the Holy Spirit that is working in you to make the adjustments to clear up the vision. The only way you will be able to see life with clear vision is when you view all the life you have from a kingdom perspective. Hallelujah. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God's kingdom. It's about growing his church. It's about getting people into heaven. It is not about personal agendas. And it is not about clout. And it is not about followers. And it is not about likes. It's about telling people that Jesus still changes people. That is Jesus, the one that transformed our lives. It's kingdom perspective, church. Without the wisdom of God's word, people are prone to throw off all restraint. This, in fact, is a description of our culture today. People have cast off restraint. Do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Dale, go for it. Live in sin. It's okay. Long as it doesn't affect me, you do whatever you want outside of these walls. Hello? No. Because there's a vision. And there's a clear vision. You know, when that's why God has been promoting me from level to level, because I've learned. I've learned, church. I'm giving you. You're not going to learn this at a Bible Institute. You're not going to learn this at a seminary. This is experience. I've learned to submit. I've learned to surrender. Does it always feel good? Is it always pleasant? No. I'm a man. I'm a 46-year-old grown man. But I can't always have my way. I'm going to say that again. I'm a 46-year-old man that can't have his way whenever he wants it. I need somebody to be accountable to. I need an authority in my life. I need a spiritual father. I need a mentor. I need a pastor. I need a teacher that tells me when I'm wrong. And that's what's happening, church, that people don't want to be told that they're wrong. And that's why their vision has got clouded. That's why their vision has got fogged up, because they've lost focus. They do whatever they want. They go and they come as they please. We need God's wisdom. We need his word. We need that Solomonic wisdom, church, that only comes from the Lord. From godly men, godly women, to teach us, to show us, to instruct us, to impart in our lives. Without the wisdom of God's word, people are prone to throw off restraint. People are running into walls and down blind alleys for the lack of truth. The remedy to the problem is in the hearing and receiving of biblical instructions. I'm going to say that again. The remedy to today's problem, church, is hearing and receiving biblical instruction. We need to take heed to his word. We need godly vision. Vision is the ability to see with your spiritual eyes. The expansion of your mind. In other words, remember earlier I said sight is what you can see. Vision is what you see with your eyes closed. In other words, your mind sometimes will not comprehend the vision that God puts in you. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes your head, your mind, your heart, it will not comprehend the vision that God has placed in your eye, in your heart, in you, because you can only see it in the physical. You cannot see it in the spiritual. The flesh, it doubts. It says, no se puede, pero sí se puede. You know, the flesh says, no, it can't be done. But the spirit says, yes, it can be done. It's been done before, and we're going to keep doing it again. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's time to expand, church, our vision. Don't settle for what you have. Yeah, you're blessed. Yes, you have a nice car, you have a good job, but the pagans, they have that too. Hello? Don't settle for just a little popcorn blessings here and there. I'm talking about kingdom. I'm talking about kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. I'm talking mega, big, not small, not little. I'm talking about super size. You might get full with the kids' meal or the $5 bag. I can't handle that. I need the bundle. You know, a guy my size, I need the bundle. I need the full package. And no sharing, that's right. If my girl wants one, she got to order her own. Tell her, George. Amen. We want the supersized blessing. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being blessed, church. You know, God doesn't want us to live mediocre lives. He doesn't want us to live miserable lives. But you know why people live miserable lives? Because they don't make up their mind. You know, one day they're with God, the next day they're in the world. One day they're spiritual, the next day they're in the flesh. But as Pastor Efraín was saying earlier, I've learned, church, that this is who I am. This is what I do. This is me. You know, what you get here, you're going to get at Walmart. What you get here, you're going to get at Denny's, at the Chinese food, or wherever, at the mall. Why? Because this is who I am. This is not something that I do on Sunday mornings. This is my life. This is what I live. Why? Because I caught the vision of NGC. I caught the vision of this church. It changed my life. It transformed me. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I've changed. I don't need to wait for people to tell me that, get out of here. God, wow. Oh, no. You know what? I know who I am when I'm alone. I know that God changed my life. I know the miserable person that I was, and I'm not miserable no more. Now I have the joy of Jesus Christ. Now I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now I serve the King of Kings. Let's go real quick, church. Habakkuk chapter 2. I preached this word in 2020. And God has been speaking to me amazingly. Every time I read it, chapter 2, verse 2. Clear vision. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. That's key right there. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, even though it takes a while, wait on it. Because if God said it, God's going to do it. If God said it, if God gave you the vision, he's going to fulfill it. If he said he's going to give you a husband, he's going to give you a husband. If he said he's going to give you a wife, he's going to give you a wife. If he said, I'm going to use you, you're going to preach, you're going to preach. If he said you're going to be on the worship team, you're going to be on the worship team. It might take a while, but it'll come to pass. 3 years I sat in this church, the front row, hearing my pastor preach day in, day out. 3 years hearing him preach day in, day out, service after service. Just soaking up what he was preaching, what he was teaching, taking notes, being a good student. But then those 3 years came up, and the Lord opened the door, and they let me loose. And here I am, 7 years later, preaching God's word. Those 3 years that I didn't preach after I came back to the Lord, it seemed like an eternity. All I wanted to do was preach. All I wanted to do was teach. There was a fire in me that was just burning, that was just consuming me. And I could envision myself, I could picture myself sharing God's word, the vision that God had given me. We went to a camp. I'm going to wrap it up now because it's almost time to land the plane. We went to a camp, a men's camp. And I see myself preaching to hundreds of men. And right there and then, I didn't share that with nobody. But I'm sharing it now. That God gave me that vision that this year, last month, I was able to fulfill that vision. With God's help, that vision was fulfilled. I got to preach at our men's camp where there was hundreds of men. You know, if I would have told people, they would have said, this guy's crazy. Se le subieron los tacos. It went to his head. Those shoes are too big for him. If I would have said to some of you guys, I'm going to be your pastor one day, you guys would be like, man, this guy, he's prideful. He's arrogant. But sometimes, what am I trying to say? That sometimes God gives you visions and you just got to keep them to yourself. Write them down. Just like Habakkuk says, make it plain. Read it, write it, and run with it. I'm going to say it once again. Read it, write it, and run with it. Don't settle for anything less. You know, during that time where I was sitting just learning from Pastor Eddie, there was people that came to my life. Ministers, men of God. You're like, hey, we know that God uses you. You know, I need your help. You would start preaching at my church the moment you move to my church. I don't even know. I've never shared that. This is the first time. And this is a word for somebody. I know it is. They would offer me opportunities to be in part of their pastoral staff. But I had to hold on my restraint. I had to submit. I had to surrender. I had to allow the old Eddie to die so that the new Eddie can rise up. And let me tell you that has been my victory. That has been my blessing. That I've learned to say no. And that is something that I didn't know before. That is something that I was taught right here. Because there's visions that are caught, but there's also visions that have to be taught. Let me say that again. There's visions, yes, they're caught, but there's also visions that have to be taught. There has to be an impartation. There has to be a deposit. You have to be taught. Why? Because nobody has ever taught you. Nobody's ever told you that you lie, but you do it without knowing that you lie. Hello, somebody. But the moment they tell you, hey, why are you always lying? Like, they bring awareness. And next time you're going to tell a lie, you remember, hey, so-and-so told me that I lie. I need to check myself. Hello? No, yes. Amen. That one went right past your heads. Vision, God's eternal perspective of the future. God sees you fulfilled. God sees you finishing your race. See, God sees you as a finished product. God sees you in victory. The one that doesn't see you fulfilled is yourself. A lot of times the battle goes on in your mind. You don't see yourself doing what God has called you to do. And you struggle in that area of allowing, of accepting, of saying, you know what? God can be good to me. God can use me. Allow yourself to be used by God. Allow God to do what he said that he's going to do. Elroy is one of the names for God in the Hebrew Bible. It is usually interpreted as a meaning, the God who who sees me. The God who sees me. He sees your pain. He sees your process. He sees the plans and the future that he has for you. Your past doesn't define you. There's power in your pain. God sees potential. El Roy, the God that sees everything. El Roy, el Dios que todo lo ve. The God that sees everything. Next time you're being down on yourself, next time you're being hard on yourself, just say, El Roy, you see my affliction. El Roy, you know my need. You know my wants. You know my troubles. Clear up my vision. To see what God sees, you have to be in the spirit. To see what he sees in the spiritual realm, we need to be in the spirit and not the flesh. That's where prayer and fasting comes in. When you fast and you pray, you get in the spirit. When you're just eating and eating and eating, you're just fulfilling the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The spirit gets quenched. The spirit gets extinguished. There's no conviction. You go, you cast off restraint. You do whatever you want. But when you're in the spirit, you want the things of the spirit. You want to be at church. You want to be in prayer. You want to be in communion. You want to be amongst the light. How do you see yourself today? Remember that your decisions decide your destiny. I'm going to say that again. Remember that your decisions today, they decide your destiny. And I'm going to end it with this verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Remember that afflictions will allow us to experience an eternal weight of glory. Whatever you're going through today, it's going to be your power tomorrow because there's power in your pain. Remember that this is for eternity. This is eternal, not temporary. What we're doing right now, we're getting prepared for our eternity with God. That's my alarm. Amen. I want to give you guys one more nugget. This is a supersize. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Clear vision brings God all the glory and peace to his house. So when we clear up the vision, the glory shows up. When we allow God to clear up the vision in our lives, God's glory presents itself. Let us stand to our feet, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.